Welcome or welcome back to Church Media HQ. My name's Luke Clayton, and I am your host. Today, we are having a conversation with Bo Snyder, who is no stranger to Church Media HQ. In fact, he has been on the show many times before, and so we are excited to have a conversation with Bo today. Bo is a videographer and producer. He really does all things video, from shooting to editing. He has helped us produce just about every short film that we have made here at Must Increase. And Bo is a huge help. He's the producer of this podcast, and can't say enough good things about him. So let's get right to our conversation with Bo Snyder. Well, Bo, welcome back.
Yeah, it's good to be here. Yeah. It's been a little while.
Yeah, it has. You were a few months, I think. So actually, Bo, let's do this. Let's get people caught up to speed on you. Like, what's going on with you?
Okay.
So you're doing a little bit more than just working at Must Increase and Church Media HQ now. You've kind of branched out to do more. So yeah, let's talk. I'll let you talk.
Yeah, you put me on the spot a little bit here. I mean, obviously 2020 brought a lot of changes that nobody was prepared for. Mm-hmm. So we had to make some changes to us. And obviously, I think Luke has mentioned in an episode or two, I still produce the podcast. Mm-hmm. I still do things with you every single week. But I've tried to branch out, and I try to do a little bit of my own production work on the side. Everything from two other churches to – like the other day, I did a missionary video that somebody wanted to do, and just things like that. That's like, hey, if that's not Luke's thing, he'll bring it to me, and I just work on it on the side. And just some things that I always want to be in this space, so I'm trying to stay in it, but just adapt. And, you know, I do weddings and things, and I do some outdoor stuff. I did a lot of traveling this last fall.
I was hoping you would talk about that.
Yeah, I did a lot of outdoor.
Geek out on it for a minute. You have my permission.
Okay, if I'm
this is not my thing, but this is definitely Bo's thing.
No, this is not Luke's thing at all. If last fall, September and October, and a tad bit into November, I got to travel to Arizona and Colorado, and I recorded elk hunts with Steve Chappell, who's actually a relative of Paul Chappell of a West Coast Baptist College out there in Lancaster. And it was, and like I said, that's my thing. There's nothing more I'd rather do than be in the outdoors and hunt elk, watch people hunt elk and record all of it. And it was great. That's not your thing at all.
Nope.
But I geeked out on it, and I got to be away from home for a while. So it was nice.
Yeah.
It was good.
So. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that was pretty, I thought a pretty cool opportunity. I mean, being someone who, again, doesn't enjoy that, but I know how much you enjoy it. So I was kind of like enjoying it because you were enjoying it. Like,
right.
Okay, this is cool.
Yeah, I almost didn't take it, but then you were like, you're crazy if you don't. So it was kind of
So I'm glad that all worked out and everything. So yeah, Bo is, and I don't know, by the time we release this, your website might be up.
We're kind of
in the process of helping you get a website up and going. So if it's up, we might throw it in the show notes or something so people can check it out. So
we're gonna feature it. I'm just gonna throw it up there.
Yeah.
Notes, please.
Well, I'll just take a fat finder's fee.
Okay. All right.
Like I said, do weddings and videography in general, you know, promotional videos. And
right.
So, here, you're still my go-to guy for all things video. But if you're interested, seriously, and you need some help with video, hit up Bo. I mean,
booking now.
Yeah. So, okay, cool. Well, I just want to catch everybody up, you know, kind of wondering what's going on with Bo, everything, you know, for all your big fans out there. Well, today we are talking about something that you and I both, I think we both have paid attention to a lot more lately, and I think everybody has.
Yep.
But because we're, you know, in the space, the media space, and that is church online. And this isn't the first time we've talked about it.
No, and it's funny. I get a kick out of this because I was thinking about it on the way over here. Is there's so many things that we've been talking about for months, last year, year before. People didn't, I don't know about that. I'm not going to try that, you know. And then enter 2020, and they're like, hey, I might want to go back and kind of see what you guys had to say about this. It's kind of like, yeah, we told you. And not to say you told you so, but it was just kind of like people are most people are realizing we got to make a change.
Yeah.
Not everybody. Some people are still holding on to stuff, but it's like if you're ever going to change, adapt, it needs to be now.
Yes. So. Yeah. And honestly, on the flip side of that, I have seen so many churches be, they are being very receptive and open-minded. People that honestly, pastors and church leaders, I thought would never be as open-minded to the idea of, you know, I guess digital outreach and digital ministry,
yep,
are embracing it in the sure. best way that they can. And so that has been good to see. But I think for me, what it's highlighted is the, not only the need to do some type of online church, but the need to do it right and mm-hmm. to do it well.
Yep.
And, but first, before we get into some of the technical aspects, I wanted to kind of talk about two viewpoints, if okay. you will, from two church leaders that, probably most people are familiar with. And one you're going to be more familiar with than the other, cause he's kind of like a mega church pastor, and that's Andy Stanley. So,
yep.
Sure. Back in the summer, you know, of course in, it would have been, I guess, March, when like every church everywhere shut down mm-hmm. and went to exclusively online. I mean, almost, there might've been some exception, but pretty much everyone. And then, you know, come, I don't know, late April, early May, churches started to slowly open back up. And man, I will say this. I am glad I'm not a pastor.
Oh.
I couldn't imagine, depending on, of course, some places, some states and areas are more strict than others, but, you know, just the, all the procedures that they had to do for reopening safely, you know, implementing social distancing, you know, masks requirements. I mean, all that, I mean, it really is a burden, and it was hard to watch pastors deal with that.
Right. Right. I wouldn't want to be a pastor. I wouldn't want to be a small business owner. All these people that are just going through this, it's tough for everyone, but it's, I guess maybe pastors more because they deal with a lot of people all at one time,
yes.
you know, so that's yeah. an extra problem to have.
Yeah. And depending again on where you're at, they were feeling a lot of pressure from their government to mm-hmm. maybe stay shut down. I mean, honestly, it all depends on the color of your state. If we're going to get political on it, it's just the truth.
I wasn't going to. I was going to steer clear.
There have been, in certain colored states, there's been very little, if you will, understanding, friendliness to churches.
Yep.
You can definitely tell that there's some, you know, people out there, government officials, that they could care less
yep.
if the church was open. And I'm not going to dive into all that, but just to say, it's a hard battle. It's been a challenge. It's a big challenge. Getting back to Andy Stanley, though. So these churches, anyways, to review the timeline, they start to open up, most of them in late April, early May. They start to reopen. Andy Stanley, who is the lead pastor, founding pastor of North Point Community Church in the Atlanta, Georgia area, you know, he still had yet to, they did yet to reopen. And they have multiple church campuses and things and nothing. It was all still exclusively online. And then I don't remember, I think it was June, he put out a video on YouTube announcing that they would not reopen until the end of the year. And at the time, he took a lot of heat for that.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Because there are a lot of people that, you know, they assumed it was he was taking sides politically or whatever. And, you know, what it came down to is, you know, he said, we can't predict the future about this thing. And so we're just not going to try to fight that battle.
Okay.
And, you know, his argument was, it would be very difficult for us to create the worship experience, on-campus worship experience that people have come to expect.
Right.
With all these, you know, social distance and
limitations. Right. Okay. So catch me up a little bit. Was they were just not going to meet physically? Like they were still going to like create a service every week?
Yeah.
Streamless.
Yeah. Yeah. So everything was still going to be online.
Okay. Just
but they said no.
We're not going to be together.
No on-campus worship at any of our campuses.
All right.
And you know, like I said, he got some heat for that. Now, that has been the one thing I have learned, and the joke I keep making to everyone is, remember this funny joke? I got a funny joke for you.
Okay.
14 days to stop the spread. Remember that? Remember when they were all saying that back in early March?
Yeah, that's
true.
It's
only going to be 14 days. Right. What? Talk about maybe 14 plus months.
Yeah.
Is really what it's going to turn out to be. I mean, honestly, so that's the one thing I've learned is you cannot predict what's going to happen with this pandemic.
We live in exciting times.
Yes. And that is for sure. And so, but what turns out is that, cases started to spike again here in probably November. And some churches had to go back into lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
And all churches had to definitely up their precautions, you know, to the next level. But in the case of Andy Stanley, well, he's still shut down. And so they're not worrying. Now, I think there is some context to be understood. We're looking at two different vantage points. We're looking at Andy Stanley.
We're getting there.
So here's something I think that we need to understand. First of all, it's very important to understand the model of North Point Community Church, which some would say that it was one of the, I don't know, I think it's like a 20, 25 years that it's since he started it.
Okay.
But some would argue that it is, you know, and this is true, that it is been one of the leaders in innovation of church. So it's one of the first to, for example, one of the first to really, kind of help popularize the small group model.
Okay.
So again, and all this is based off of things I've read and whatnot, but
they would be considered maybe a pioneer in some areas of church.
Yeah. And... yeah. So, but from what article I read, and honestly, I should have, kept it here so I could reference it. But, basically the church there has a very successful small group model.
Okay.
And they have a very good, you know, ratio of those who, you know, because you got those who attend your weekend services.
Yeah, okay? Of course.
And you got those that they literally walk in on Sunday, they walk out.
Yeah.
That's the extent of their involvement. And that's many, many, if not the majority of church members in America.
Yeah.
But they have a very good kind of conversion rate, if you will, of getting them to get plugged in to a small group of some kind.
Okay.
So what's going on here is, yes, they shut down their weekend worship, but what, depending on, you know, their communities and whatever, what I'm understanding, they are meeting together as small groups still.
Oh.
So they're gathering, but in smaller groups.
And which can sometimes be stronger, more effective.
And that's a whole other, you know, topic to dive into is just this idea of growing bigger by growing smaller.
Yeah.
But they're continuing to produce, a online weekend service.
Okay.
And what I think is pretty fascinating, I heard in an interview, I think it was on Carrie Newhoff's podcast recently, Andy Stanley said they have converted basically the entire front part of their sanctuary, their auditorium, into like a production set.
Really?
And he is just, I mean, because he said, yeah, from what we're doing now is week after week, we're essentially producing a television show.
Sure.
You know, it's about, you know, 30 minutes, 45 minutes of content.
Yeah.
So a lot of things, that was a really interesting interview there. So, what I see here, and this is just my opinion, is someone saying, okay, we have to adapt.
Yep.
Again, this is unpredictable.
Yeah.
And we're adapting. And so anyways, I found it to be pretty interesting.
Well, here's the thing. If you were to look back, let's say go back to March or whatever, and if whoever was able to say to pastors, hey, this is going to last for 1 month, 5 Sundays, whatever. It's okay, like guaranteed, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, do you have to completely revamp the way you do something for 5 weeks? Okay, no, maybe you can wait it out, mm-hmm. you know. But still to this point, 12 months, well, it was 8 months, 9 months, whatever it's been.
How far we're in.
We
stopped counting.
Yeah, we stopped counting, yeah. We still don't know how long it's going to go. And of course, I mean, hey, I'm an optimist. I really am. I like to look at the bright side of things. And of course, we are all excited for 2020 to be over.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and 2021 is almost here. It's mm-hmm. the time of this recording. But some people think this magical thing is going to like, oh, 2021, it's like, well, we're still going to deal with some of these things. So my point is, you can't say, hey, I'm going to keep holding out and keep holding out and keep holding out and not change mm-hmm. when, I mean, what, dude, right there, just to the amount of money and effort it took to, hey, we're just going to change this. We don't know how long it's going to have to, mm-hmm. we're going to use it, but we're going to do it because that is the best thing for right now.
Mm-hmm.
Which, that's cool. I like that. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and like you said, I think there's a lot of people that are, when it comes to 2021,
mm-hmm.
And probably by the time that you're listening to this, it is 2021.
Yeah, it should be. Yeah.
And you're thinking, you know, I think a lot of people were thinking, you know, as we got into mid 2020, they were like, oh man, just let the year be over.
Yeah.
And everybody just kind of thought that we're just going to have this, if you will, rebound in 2020. And everything's just going to immediately go back to normal. Like January 1, it's going to all start. But honestly, I think we have to look at 2021 as a year to, if you will, rebuild.
Yeah,
sure. It's going to take some time. I do believe we're on a road to recovery.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's a long road, in the area of society in general, but specifically, churches. Of course, there's a vaccine out and all that good stuff. And, you know, I don't know what to think about it. I hope it works. I really do. But and of course, the political landscape as far as the presidential administration has changed and whatever. And honestly, I am not going to give my opinion on anything.
I'm trying to keep my mouth shut over here.
Yeah, Bo likes to get political.
I like political stuff.
So, but regardless, I either way, no matter what, the like I said, that road to recovery is going to be a somewhat long one, and I think it's going to take the duration of 2021 to feel like we are. And what I've stopped saying is getting back to normal, because we're not getting back to normal.
Yeah, I think you're right about that.
I think
that.
The term that's better to use is things to normalize for yeah. it to us to adapt to the new normal. And like we've said before, hopefully churches, and this is what I appreciate about, you know, whether you agree with Andy Stanley or not, whether mm-hmm. you agree with his overall philosophy of ministry or his philosophy in this particular instance, I do appreciate that he said, no, I'm not going to just long to get back to normal and try to restore normal. He's acknowledging that there is a new normal mm-hmm. and he's adapting to it. Yeah. And he's actually having a part in creating the new normal.
Wow.
And it's so sad to see churches fall behind. Mm-hmm. They have fallen behind for years. And
sure.
I think if nothing else, this pandemic gives us an opportunity as the church
right.
to lead the way in creating the new normal. So anyways, I think it's a really interesting perspective from Andy Stanley here.
Yeah, that's
I
good.
Don't, like I said, I try to see, you know, all sides of the argument, but I see where he's coming from and why it works for his model of ministry.
Yeah, well, we've mentioned this before in podcast episodes, I mean, months and years ago, is when it comes to adapting and creating new things, if you look at it from perspective of businesses, I remember classes in college with marketing or just business where certain companies said, hey, we're at the top of our game. We are not going to change anything. Mm-hmm. And that worked for a little bit. And then they had other people or other companies beside them that were trying, even though maybe they weren't as big, mm-hmm. but they were trying new things. And bigger companies say, that's not going to work. That's mm-hmm. ridiculous. Then all of a sudden it did. And then the bigger companies crashed or yeah. fell apart yeah. because same thing with churches. It's like, okay, maybe something worked. You know, we're going to go on a little rant here. Maybe something worked in the 70s, the 80s, you know, what you can use every year, every mm-hmm. decade, what mm-hmm. works best now. Okay. But if you get to a point that says, nope, I'm good. I'm going to stay right here. That's one of the most dangerous places you yep. can be, because that might work for a little bit. But as we know, whether it comes to holy cow tech or media, things always change. Yep. Nothing is permanent. So it's like, okay, you can be at the top of your game for a little bit, but who knows how long it's going to be. Yep. And then you're just going to hit the edge or hit the wall and go, oh, I'm way behind now, and now you're almost irrelevant.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so
yeah.
take that for what it's
well,
worth.
I like that. I'm going to circle back to something you just said, because, you know, I can see there might be some haters out there who, you know, watch our content. Like, oh, you're a bunch of young kids trying to tell me how to do ministry. Okay, so I like there, though, how you picked on – let's stop picking on the church.
Sure.
And let's pick on businesses
yeah,
for
okay,
a minute, because
sure.
I like what you said there. So let's think about the – biggest thing, if I say, who's the biggest company in the world right now? Who comes to mind?
I would say Apple.
Apple. Okay, yeah, I think you're accurate. I don't know the market caps and all that.
Yeah,
stuff.
Google.
But it's Apple, Google, Amazon, Facebook, you know, whatever. Were those the biggest companies even 10 years ago? No. Apple was on its way.
Apple, yeah.
They
sure.
were up and coming.
Right.
You know, Facebook was on the scene.
I mean, definitely not at the turn of the century.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Millennium or, definitely, yeah, definitely not then.
Rewind to 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And yeah, they're there. And some of them are there.
Sure.
But they're nothing like they are today.
No.
And, you know, the thing that I ask is, you know, let's, again, picking on a specific industry. Okay, Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
Amazon has, especially after 2020, has completely essentially taken over retail.
Oh, man.
I mean, how many times do I just order stuff on Amazon? I mean, I'm not,
yeah.
it's probably weekly, if not more.
Oh man.
I mean, and there, but you think about who's the other, let's talk brick and mortar then.
Okay.
Biggest retailer. Who's the one that comes to mind?
Walmart.
Okay. Now I will say this, Walmart has upped their game. They're playing catch up. I mean, they are. They did not adapt to this online. They did not embrace it in
right.
full, you know,
yeah.
to the extent obviously Amazon did.
Yeah.
And they're still one of the biggest
sure.
businesses in the world.
Right.
And
isn't it funny how up until, you know, February, March, you had a few stores that had like, hey, we'll bring your groceries out to you or mm-hmm. we'll bring them to you. But now every
oh,
single
yeah.
place has
yeah.
that. I mean, every single place, curbside or whatever you want to call it. I mean, it's not – that used to be like a kind of a cool feature. Now it's expected. Like, if you don't, like, whoa, why don't you have curbside assistance or whatever you want to call it? Or,
absolutely. Well, we're in the Nashville area, and the restrictions here aren't as bad.
No,
as,
they're not.
As of now. They're not I like our as state. Bad as
I like
other
Tennessee.
Places. Yeah, happy to live here. Oh, yeah, because you're from Michigan.
Yeah.
You're glad you're not
Let's
there
not
right
talk
now.
About that right now.
So, you know, the dine-in experience is reopened. There's, you know, limited capacity and stuff.
Sure.
But what I'm noticing, one of my one of the restaurants I like to go to here in town, they have, yes, they have dine-in. They're offering that again, but they're to-go and curbside, which they massively expanded during the lockdown.
Yeah.
Is still just as strong as it was.
Well, dude, now the parking lots, the whole front row is full of just – it's just curbside. You get little, you know, signs and things. Oh, one, two, three, four. Yeah, so it's just as much, if not more, than the
– And I think – and honestly, I believe that's here to stay.
I think so, too. Dude, it's funny because, you know, if you have – let's say you order some food or something, you can have it like, hey, you can hand it to me or like, hey, just leave it on my door and leave, you know, whatever. Like – I think people love that. Like, that's here to stay. True story. I saw a shirt the other day that said, hey, it was kind of like, hey, this might be a shirt in the future. But it said, hey, remember social distancing? That was awesome.
Yeah.
I'm like, some of that is like, okay, yes, I get it, you know.
For someone who has a lot of introverted tendencies.
Right.
Yeah,
they're loving that.
I have enjoyed, okay, yeah, go away. But yeah, a lot of the stuff, that it's here to stay.
Yep.
So now let's go down, drill into churches specifically.
Church has changed.
Yes.
It has. I mean, I take your whatever you're going to say. Church has changed, and I really do think it's changed forever.
Yes, and these changes are here to stay. There are churches out there who of all different, you know, flavors, whatever denomination sides of the spectrum, that have been doing church the same way for 30, 40 years. And they've really overall made very little change to the weekly structure and how they have their services and things like
and
that.
And not to get too deep theological right away, but church has changed. The gospel has not. We understand that. We're not here to change the way you, maybe we are here to change the way that you teach, maybe. But it's just we're all about the methods have changed.
Yes.
The way people experience it has changed. And we're not saying to throw things out or get away from things, but it's just how you present is huge.
Yeah, so. I'm a big believer in – obviously, I'm never going to tell you to change your theology.
No.
No, I'm not going to touch your doctrine.
That's not why you're here.
That's nothing – I mean, that's not why I'm here, and I believe that can't – that shouldn't change.
Right.
If you change that, you change the core of who you are. And even – some people think I would just want to attack tradition. And honestly, there are certain traditions that you can honor, that you can stick with.
Sure.
That you know, elements of your heritage that you value, you know. That honestly, I don't believe anything, but your methodology, 100%, is completely up for change. It should be put on, it should be questioned constantly.
Yeah.
I'm honestly not saying that you should change things for the sake of changing them.
No.
But you should constantly be saying, why do we do this? How could we do it better? How can it be more effective?
Well, check this out. I mean, how many times, how many things do you read that, you know, I've read many articles where X amount of churches are closing in America every year. And that was when things were so-called normal.
Mm-hmm.
That was when they had the freedom to do whatever they want or that there were no restrictions or whatever. So I'm not excited, I guess is the word, but it's anxious to see, okay, how many churches will not exist even more a year down the road because they were barely hanging on when things were normal. But when people come to expect certain things now, if you've not been doing anything else, it's like, okay, now you are completely just irrelevant. You're a dinosaur. Like, so you're just old now, and you don't really have anything to offer me.
Yeah, well, I talked about the Carrie Newhoff podcast.
Yeah,
earlier, it's a great podcast. I listened to
it. I didn't listen to that,
Well, he had Tom, it's either Rainier or Rainier. I think it's Rainier.
I know who you're talking about. I've read the name many times. I don't know how to say that.
Yeah. But he used to be the president of Lifeway Publications, and now he's just kind of out on his own doing his own thing. But needless to say, the guy's a church expert.
Yep. Sure.
He's been doing church for a while. And, you know, he was in this conversation with Carrie Newhoff about the future of the church and in light of the pandemic. And, you know, Carrie Newhoff asked him, said, so what are you telling churches? You know, as far as, you know, the changes they need to make and whatever. Mm-hmm. And I mean, he was very blunt about it.
Yeah.
He said, I've looked several right in the eye and I've said, if you don't change, your church will be gone in 5 years.
You've told me this. Yeah, yeah. That was great.
I mean,
it's not great,
it's not great.
But for him to,
For him to say it, I think it's it's a little sobering because
it is, yeah.
You know, he's again a guy who I would say knows a lot more about the church space than I do.
Yeah.
And he's looking at people and saying, "Yeah, you've got, you know, if you don't change, you've got 5 years left." Now okay. That is, I mean, 5 years. Think of how long
I was going to say
that goes.
Yeah,
by.
5 years goes fast. You can actually like look out and see 5 years. Like, you know, yeah. It's not like, hey, in 20 years you're. So, pretty strong.
So, yeah, I mean, what it gets back to, you know, circling back to kind of our original topic here,
mm-hmm.
This Church Online, it's here to stay.
Yep.
We have to adapt. And I do believe, though, that how you adapt is up to you.
Mm-hmm.
It's up to your culture. It's up to what works for your church. I respect that, and I embrace that.
Yeah.
Because what works for a church in this case of Andy Stanley, works for a church in Atlanta, Georgia, which is kind of like Bible Belt country.
Sure it is.
Is not going to work the same for a church in Las Vegas. Well, thanks again for joining us here at Church Media HQ. We hope that you'll take a moment to subscribe wherever you're listening or maybe watching this content. We're available on all podcast platforms, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, and many more platforms beyond that. Also, if you're watching on YouTube, you can subscribe to our YouTube channel so that whenever we drop new episodes or new content, you will be notified. And you can also like this video on YouTube or even on Facebook, and that is a huge help because it helps the content get seen by other church leaders like you. And we are grateful every time you join us for our episodes and the new content that we drop, and you hope you will continue to join us in the weeks ahead. Well, as always, I want to challenge you this week. Try something new. Just try something. Whether you think it's going to work or not, just try something, because it is always so much better to fail at trying something great than to succeed at doing the average. See you next time on Church Media HQ.